Good morning. You're a quiet group. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I brought a little weight here with me. Can you lift it up? Can you hold it above your head? High, just like that? You think you'd hold that a long time like that? You could. Okay. What if Lindy came over and snuck up behind you and suddenly tickled you? What might you do? If she really got you, do you think you could have dropped that on your head? Yeah. That could happen. I wondered about that. I'm glad she didn't get to you too fast. You know, when we get tickled or we laugh, we kind of relax and we can't fight back, can we? When someone starts tickling, you can't stop them.
Sit out.
Hmm?
Try it on me. Do the test on me.
Do the test on you. You want to hold it? Go ahead. I'm going to talk to him. I want you to imagine with me that suddenly you're a football player. And right across from me is a really big guy. And you don't want to make him angry. But if you could get him to laugh, he might get all weak like he was being tickled, and you could knock him over. Do you think that would work? It might. God gave us laughter. It's a special gift to help relax us and make us sort of floppy and easy and comfortable. And we need that.
I know, because I'm strong like this.
Yes, I see that. You're strong.
I'm with you.
Okay, thank you. My wife will want me to bring this back. God wants us to be happy and laughing, but there is a time when we need to get angry too. The scripture we're going to read in a little bit tells about a time when Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple and used a whip and got all the animals out of there. And he was angry at them. You know why he was angry? They were cheating the people.
What's your buddy?
You know, they would give them a $5 bill and want change, and they'd give them two back. $2 back. Does that seem fair? Two for five? No. Well, that's what they were doing. They were cheating people. And right there in the temple. And so Jesus got very angry with them. Sometimes we have to get angry too when people are being hurt. We need to remember that. Because God wants all of us to be happy and cheerful and laughing all the time. He doesn't want people to get cheated or hurt. So we need to remember that. Will you help pray an echo prayer with me? Dear God, thank you for loving us and giving us laughter. Help us to be cheerful for others. Amen. And thank you for coming up here.
Daddy, stop it. Get out.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of John, chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, and the actions of our lives this coming week all be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. Jesus was a very gentle man, right? We sing, "Fairest Lord Jesus," or "Jesus Savior, meek and mild." Jesus was Mr. Nice Guy, the prototype sensitive male, respective of women, loved little children, kind to his mother. What's he doing then during the holiest season of the year, overturning tables and scattering coins and using a whip of all things to drive both people and the cattle out of the temple courtyard? Imagine if someone had come in right now and do something like that here in the sanctuary. What would you feel about it? Would you think they were demented or criminal? We'd want them punished? No wonder the religious leaders were so upset. Combine the incident with his diatribes against the scribes and the Pharisees, and it was no wonder they was crucified. He lived in a land occupied by the mighty and sometimes unmerciful rule of Rome. They were not going to intercede for him when he experienced the wrath of the established order. Maybe we've done Jesus a disservice when we make him fit our prototype of meekness and gentleness. It's obvious there were some things that made him angry. The scriptures are adamant. Jesus was without sin. You can look it up. Hebrews 4:15. Yet he expressed anger. So anger must not be a sin by itself. Someone compared anger to nitroglycerin, which is an unstable liquid. In paste form, constitutes dynamite. However, nitroglycerin is also, in very small amounts, what we give to heart patients to keep their hearts going. Anger of itself is not sinful. The sin is getting angry over the wrong things. We get angry when someone cuts us off in traffic, or when someone takes credit for something we've done at work. We get angry at our kids when they're too noisy, and our spouse when he or she doesn't match our impressions of that day. Sometimes we get angry simply because we're tired. We don't even have to have anything to set us off. The media reported a while back on a fight at a Spring Haven retirement community in Florida. Mealtime turned ugly when an 86-year-old man complained to another gentleman about picking through the lettuce. Name-calling soon gave way to punching, and the police were summoned. One resident was bitten in his attempt to stop the fight. Another was knocked down. While no one was seriously injured, one man was sent away from the nursing home. You and I get angry over all kinds of things, some of them exceedingly silly. Jesus got angry when he saw people exploiting religion. That's a little different than getting miffed over a salad bar. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That was his one purpose in life. Can you imagine how he felt when he saw some religious leaders using religion to take advantage of people? There are people who exploit religion today. Religious hucksters who get rich by means of hurting souls. Sometimes you can catch these people on television. I suspect Jesus' blood boils when he hears one of these charlatans promise their followers that God will bless them, heal them, give them all kinds of prosperity if they will just make a donation to this pastor's ministry. Sinful human beings exploit religion just like they exploit everything else, and for the same reasons: wealth, power, prestige. Jesus got angry when he saw people exploiting religion for their own gain. People came to offer sacrifices, some from great distances, from Egypt, from Greece, maybe even from Rome. Maybe only once in a lifetime would they get to the holy city. They couldn't bring an animal all that way, and so they had to purchase one when they got near the temple. Unfortunately, they couldn't use Roman coins. These coins were considered impure because they had the emperor's image on them. It defied the commandment. So money changers were handy to exchange your bad money for the temple money. Some of them were making outrageous profit at the expense of simple believing people who came from around the empire to worship. And Jesus exploded. According to the picture we get in the Gospels, Jesus always gets angry at people who exploit religion. Jesus also got angry when religious leaders elevated form over substance. At the center of Jewish life are two commands: love God, love your neighbor. But the religious leaders were obscuring these two key commands with a host of petty, peripheral demands, obscure laws, pointless rituals. After all, it was much easier to measure the length of the tassel on your coat than it was to love old crotchety Mr. Samperstein next door. And much, much easier than loving that religious heretic, Mr. Samaritan, in the next village. God had called these religious leaders to open the eyes of their people to the presence of God in human hearts and in human relationships. But these leaders were loading people down with useless laws. Meanwhile, they ignored the real spiritual needs of their flock. So Jesus got steamed. And he fashioned a whip and drove both people and animals out of the temple. It's a dramatic scene. And it tells us something very important about Jesus. All Jesus cares about is people. People. All people. Wherever they're found, he cares about people. It's so very important. At the heart of everything Jesus did was his love for people. Law was not so important to him as people, though he was a law-abiding man. Tradition was not as important to him as people, though he kept most of his sacred traditions of his people. Even religion was not as important to him as people, even though the Sabbath always found him in the synagogue. Jesus did not come here to die for the law or tradition or religion. Jesus came and died for people. All people. Just people. There may be people that you and I disapprove of. They may not have the same moral fabric that we have. They may not worship as we do. They may be committed to a very different way of life that we find disturbing. But Jesus loves them. And Jesus did not come here to condemn them, but to save them. A seminary professor I had tells about a childhood game he played when he was in grade school. The game was, you're out, you can't come in. The way the game was played was that half of the children would form a circle. They would face out and they would hold hands. The other half of the children would be outside the circle. And the ones in the circle would chant, you're out, you can't come in. And once they chanted this twice, the children who were on the outside tried to run up and break through. Now, you had to just hold hands. You couldn't lock your elbows or anything like that. You had to just hold hands. And they got one chance to make it through. Those were the rules. They couldn't keep pushing. You and I have seen that game played out in all of our lives with children and with adults. And sometimes, heaven help us, it has been played in the name of Jesus. You're out, you can't come in. That's a chant we've used in all kinds of people. It certainly was a chant in the days of civil rights marches. And in Ferguson and other places recently. But there have been a lot of other times, other places, and my, the hurt that has been done. Oh, the terrible hurt. Martin Marty once said that you can divide religious people into two groups. Not the Protestant, liberals and conservative, not the Protestants and the Catholics, the mean and the non-mean. That hurts, but it's the truth. In our scripture, Jesus has acted very forcefully against the mean persons. Some of you are familiar with Madeline Lalingo. She's inspired many people with her writing. She reports that one Sunday she visited an Episcopal church in New York. And this is what she says. A man stood up in that church and said, I hope this is appropriate to ask. I was an abused child. I'm terrified of being an abusive father. I need help and prayer. Madeline says she knew right then this was a church she could stay in because people are willing to be vulnerable. This church is very different. Sometimes it gets messy, but that's okay. People are not afraid to ask questions. We're able to admit we're all broken. We've all made terrible mistakes. We're all in need. And we all want things that we don't have. She said they meet in an upper room. The 5 o'clock Eucharist is largely street people on drugs, HIV positive or with AIDS. One member told her it was the only place where he was called by his name. It's a church in which a mother whose 27-year-old son has died is free to say, people think I'm terrible because I can't pray. And I can reassure her, you don't have to pray. We're praying for you. That's what the body of Christ is about. That is what the church is to be about. Some churches are known for the people that they keep out. My guess is that makes Jesus very angry. All Jesus cares about is people. Now, fortunately, that includes you and me. We're not worthy of it, but it includes us. That's the message of the cross. Scripture is quite plain on this point. Jesus went to the cross on our behalf. Why? Because God so loved the world. That is why Jesus drove the money changers from the temple. What the money changers were doing had nothing to do with authentic religion. They were exploiting people. They were elevating the form of religion over the substance of religion. God so loved the world. He wants to be in a very personal relationship with each and every one of us. That's what authentic faith is about. And that's the faith I invite you to make your own. Not legalistic faith that fills people with guilt and forgets to flood them with grace. Not moralistic faith that divides people into acceptable and unacceptable and forgets to remind us that all of us are unacceptable sinners saved by grace. I invite you to accept the authentic faith of Jesus, a faith that has one goal: to help us grow in love for God and for one another. All other. A faith that tells us we really matter, not because there's anything remarkable about us, but because there is something remarkable about God. God so loved the world. Accept nothing less, for this is the heart of Lent. Amen.
Now may the blessing of God,
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abide with each of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.